Hi, everybody, and welcome to the Pony Developer Sync for October 8th, 2019. I'm Andrew Turley, and if everybody here could please just introduce yourself quickly.
I'm Sean Allen.
That didn't work. Hi, I'm Sylvan Klepsch.
Joe McElroy.
I'm Gord Tischer.
I think that's who we're going to get.
Okay. All right. Great. So I've dropped the...
Before we get started, I have one thing I'd like to make everyone aware of if they're not aware, and I wanted to have it recorded. Bruce, who did the 7 Languages in 7 Weeks book, has been doing an online version at... Groxio, groxio.io, and there was a recent voting from that community of people for what language they wanted to learn as their second language. The first was Crystal that won, and Pony was selected for the second language, and they will be starting with that on November 15th, apparently. So.
Woohoo.
Thank you. Thank you for making the noise that I was going to make. Awesome.
Sorry, you can still make it. I didn't mean to steal your...
No, it's good. Then I didn't have to make it. I felt like it's like, yes, teamwork. People have known each other for a while. Simpatico.
Great. So we've got a month to make sure we feel like everything's clean and polished.
Oh, I was thinking the opposite. We got a month to break everything.
This somehow says a lot about you and I. Okay. All right. Well, that's cool news. That's great. I think I voted. I tried to vote. There was some weirdness on the website.
I didn't vote. Wait, I did vote.
Sean just looked down at the sticker on his shirt that says I voted.
Sure, was it his blue index finger?
Yeah, I was just going to say, lots of blue index fingers here. Okay, so in the sync stream, we have a list of issues. So go ahead and pop over there if you would like. We haven't done a sync covering issues in 2 weeks. Let's see, last week was the discussion of LLVM, and the week before there were only two of us, and so we decided to cancel the meeting. So in theory, this could be issues going. I grabbed everything from September 17th and on. So start at the start with RFCs, 153.
Yep, I think this is ready for the vote here, and we can vote and be like yay or nay. It's what we had all agreed upon, and he updated the RFC accordingly. So I think we're good to accept this at this point. 153?
Yep.
Yes, please.
Okay.
All right.
A note to that effect, Sean.
Yes. Let's see. It's been accepted. Is there anybody on this call who has time to set up the issue in Pony C for this? Sometime in the next day or so? I do not. Normally Theo does it, but Theo's not around. So anybody? Can we get a volunteer? Eric, do you have time maybe? Type something if you do. Maybe you could do it. Let's see. All right. I don't know. We'll have to figure that out. Okay. I will add it to Last Week in Pony right now, though, while we're doing this. And all right, why don't we carry on?
Okay.
Keep going.
All right. Moving on.
I'm gonna be out of commission for like 2 to 3 minutes while I add this to the PonyC website right now.
Cool.
All right.
Okay. So moving on to PonyC PRs, we've got 3320, our good old work in progress compiling LLVM 9.0.0.
Yeah, there's a couple issues on Windows still with optimization, and then there's an issue on Linux with handling exceptions from FFI code. So in my copious free time, I've trying to chip away at that.
Sounds good.
To reproduce the Linux issue, do I just check out your branch there, LLVM 900, and just run it on Linux and see the Linux issue?
Yeah, you have to have a LLVM 9 in your path.
Cool. All right, I will try to take a look at the Linux issue for that sometime soon.
Cool, thanks.
All right. 3308, fix redundant move and return statement error.
Yeah, so I had left a question here. Like, what happens if we just remove the standard move? Like, do we get errors on a different platform, or mm-hmm. just a, kind of a sanity check? And then, my other thought was, can we explicitly disable that warning in the make files, but even on platforms where it's a default warning, ignore it?
Sorry, I'm a bit confused by this one. Because standard move is a C++ 11 and C++ 14. And okay, the type changed a little bit in C++ 14, but not much, right? It just became const expert and usable in other places. Generally speaking, a standard move at the end is something you take out because bizarrely, it can impede a compiler optimization where it does a move anyway. I know that sounds bizarre, but welcome to the wide world of sports. I don't really see a downside to just saying if error, return error, essentially is what I'm saying. Do we know, is there anything more specific there?
Yeah, that's what I was suggesting. We try that, and if it works, then it works.
Yeah, the worst possible thing that it can do is copy the contents of error,
which is not something here. It is at runtime, but that's only if the runtime crashes in the JIT, which is not really used anyway.
Yeah. I'm going with
not a big deal.
Here is if error, return error.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's see here. Joe or Sylvan, do you want to just add that comment?
I'll type it up.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Okay. 3234, build PonyC using CMake.
Yeah, so this is working. I still have to implement the cross compilation for ARM and stuff. And then I have to integrate it with all the CI changes that Sean has been doing lately. So I thought I would hold off for a bit.
There's more coming too.
So I thought I'd hold off until all the CI is in a stable state and then make it work with this branch.
But this removes everything but the CMake build system, regardless of platform, right?
Right.
Oh my God, you're my hero. I mean, you've been my hero before, but even more so.
Continuing to be heroic.
I have a make file that makes build directories and puts everything in the expected places and everything, but it's just a tiny little stub.
Oh, so I can still run make and pretend I'm using make.
Yeah, exactly.
That's wonderful.
Oh, there it is. Okay.
Okay. So that's it for PRs and Pony C. Sorry, I've got a cat attacking me here.
Well, we have some older ones there I'm not looking, but you might want to check given that it's been a couple weeks. I did to see if there's anything else that might be there.
Sam, you don't trust my phony programming?
No, I'm just saying, doesn't it only run over 1 week, or did you do it over more than 1 week?
I can adjust it. I use command line arguments.
Oh no, okay. All right. Well, last time that wasn't possible, so that's why I was bringing it up. Okay.
Been possible. Last time, a while back, I wasn't grabbing everything because I wasn't using the crappy pagination stuff. Anyway, it should be everything. the later stuff is like August and July. So go on to issues unless there's if there's a specific PR we want to talk about, we can do that. Otherwise, I'll move on to issues.
No.
Okay. So 3326, compiler crash with repeat until and error in else. Exciting.
I haven't tried it yet, but I'm assuming it looks like the problem is the fact that it should be a compiler error where it should be telling you that the return type does not match the type that you're assigning it to, because it should be a blah or none, right?
Yeah.
And that's really the problem there. And it's for some reason, probably given that repeat is rarely used, it's probably somehow not working properly because of repeat.
Sounds pretty reasonable to me.
Interesting, but it's definitely not a U8 or none, right?
It's not? I'm sorry, really?
Yeah, because the else raises an error.
Oh, right, yeah, sorry. I don't glance
else,
at it.
The else branch has essentially been, the thing is, that actually doesn't look like a problematic program. So I think this is very, very sadly a pretty deep compiler bug.
Yeah.
Because the else false has, and as he says, if you take out the else error, sorry, I said else false. I didn't mean else false. I apologize. The else error, if you take that out, it's going to go, and that makes sense. Of course it is.
Yeah.
And I'm afraid that AST from dying on a null AST is a slightly gruesome result in terms of debugging, right? That just doesn't help very much. On the other hand, theoretically, this should bubble up pretty quickly if someone has time to run it in a debugger.
I think at the least it should be tagged with bug needs investigation if it hasn't been already.
Okay, I'll go ahead and do that.
And I just finished up doing all of the rigmarole for the RFC. So that's all updated with all of the stuff we normally do.
Okay. Should I go ahead and just ask him to if he can run this in the debugger? Or?
Could be a new thing. I don't know. I'd ask maybe if he has time or whatever, you know, and that what we'd be interested in seeing, right?
I'll ask that.
There are plenty, I just say that because there are plenty of people who come in who don't know how to use like LLDB or GDB or whatever, and if not phrased correctly, could sound like we're asking the world of them from their perspective. Whereas other folks might be completely familiar with it, you know.
I've asked if he'd have time to run this in the debugger and dump the results in here. If not, somebody else can.
Alrighty.
Okay. 3323, generated documentation default value display bug.
Yes.
From Sean.
So I was surprised by what President Beef put. I feel like this used to be handled correctly and then wasn't at some point, and but I don't believe we need a generic AST PonyCode generator unparser. I think we should be able to get this working with what we have. Am I incorrect in that assumption?
That is a
question. Correct in that assumption, yeah.
Hmm?
I think you might be incorrect in that assumption. Yeah, I think we need, maybe not for all AST, right? We may not need to unparse a class definition. But you definitely, like, at the level of imperative code, I think probably so.
I'm not sure how, like, the issue that I opened, I don't know how this is related to 1262, which I opened, which seems entirely different to me. Like, the thing I opened is that call rather for, like, this looks like it's like it happens with u size of -1 and I size max value. It's returning call instead of putting the value. Like, I mean, it happens with u size -1 as well. But I guess I see that he's saying it's related because it's not the actual number value itself necessarily that's happening, but it's a fuller expression like the max value one. Is that, got it. Okay.
Yeah. We might be able to get away without an unparser if we, I forget, does the Pony AST track both start and end of tokens? Or just start?
So my memory is that it starts only.
Okay.
But I don't want to swear to that. It's been a while.
Yeah, because in the parser I wrote recently, it was start and end, and so the easy way to do this is just like you repaste the exact string from the source code rather than trying to build it from the AST. Yeah. But if it's just start, we're kind of screwed on that.
Right. We should have this in tilde.h, right?
Yeah.
No, but possibly token.c wrote this lousy code. Well, if it's a string, it's pulling string length. If it's not, it has a printed, but that's after conversion. So that's if it's done a
Yeah, it's tracking the line, like row and column, I think.
Yeah, and so the only time we're filling out printed is if we had int, a float, that kind of thing, and we fill in printed so that we have it, essentially we're caching it over the token so that we don't do a conversion every single time.
Yeah.
So if all we have is a token ID, then the line and position to the source isn't giving you the full spread of the token.
Yep.
Yeah. The only hack I could think of is if this is only a problem for sequences. Oh, and I guess it's not because Sean's case was not. So never mind. Yeah. Yeah. So we would either, it would either require an unparser or it would require changing token T to also track the final position of the token. And that might be the easier change, to be honest. Maybe.
Sounds like an easier change.
It gets maybe a little bit tough when you have like tokens nested inside of each other to make sure that you get the right finish for those. But it is something that can be done.
It's a big my only suggestion is that if we go down that route, we probably want to use a 32-bit token length and to put it at the end before bool frozen, and that will keep token T down to 64 bytes and not run over, which means it won't impact memory consumption.
All of those things should be comments on the issue, I think.
Yeah, okay.
So yeah, you just had to put it at the end of the struct, is the idea?
Yeah. Well, actually before the bool frozen.
Okay. All right, I can write that down. Okay. I think both of these would be fairly significant effort, but I think the tracking the source position differently is probably easier.
Yeah.
Okay. Moving on to 3318, rename pony threads to pony max threads.
Yes. Sean opened that.
Yes, he did.
Yes, he did. I think that pony threads is now really poorly named, as I state on for the reasons on the issue. And it should be pony max threads.
I agree with this because I think I was the one that brought up it was confusing.
Yes, you were. And I spent like 5 to 10 minutes explaining it to you, and we've improved most of it. But I think this is still left hanging around as being a confusing bit.
I just clicked thumbs up.
Good. So I think the only thing we really need to do then is change it to from needs discussion during sync to enhancement ready for work.
Okay.
If somebody has do that. Yeah.
Yep.
And then I'm trying to get out Alex to do it. Just get him more involved.
Okay. 3314, that's the release 0.32.1.
Yep. Let me say about that. Planning on doing a release sometime at the end of the month.
Yep.
Sweet.
Because that's what we always do. 3313.
3313. Unable to create Fedora releases due to compilation error.
And this, wherein, thanks, Joe, I found out that apparently the build logs don't last more than 7 days.
Yeah.
So I was able, this is what was in there. And if you take a GCC, at least I believe it's GCC 8 should be fine, but I believe it was GCC 8.1 was the one that they're specifically using with the Fedora. Fedora's stuff, when they build, it has a warning called where it sets string op truncation as an error, which means that there's three instances of string copy in verify.c that it complains about with not basically not copying null termination over for what it's doing. I don't really, it's in AST manipulation stuff, and I don't know the AST stuff to know whether this warning that's been turned, that gets turned into an error with that is a legit problem or not, or just one that's a warning that's potentially a problem, but not in this particular case. But either way, I think that, you know, this is something that could come up with other systems in the future. So we should fix the problem. I'm doing fix in air quotes, one way or another, so that we would be able to build with that warning on as an error and not have it blow up on anybody who's using. I think they introduced, from what I saw, they introduced that in GCC 8 as a warning. And I learned a lot about how people apparently often misuse string copy. The basic idea behind it is that in those places in Verify where we're using it, we create a buffer which is of a size if I remember correctly, it's the size of the string, and we then copy part of the string out and into the buffer, but not the full thing, and don't put a null terminator, and there's no null terminator at the end.
Right.
Which, based on context, might not be problematic for what we're doing, but I didn't spend much time looking at it.
Okay.
Okay.
But any.
Anything else there?
Nope, but I would say for anybody who's listening, if somebody could take that on, that would be great, because then we would be able to do, when we have the next release coming at the end of the month, the Fedora Copra builds would work instead of us being like, sorry, no Fedora build this time, which is what I did last time.
Sean, real quick, there's the what we need to do section. Do you want me? It looks like you meant to put checkboxes there in the markdown, or maybe you didn't.
Oh, those not checkboxes? Oops, no. I did it wrong.
Yes. I can update it real quick. I've got it.
Yes, thank you.
Yep. Okay. 3305 compiler crash.
Compiler crash. Oh yes, I haven't had any chance to look at this at all.
Yeah, and it's
large and big. So
yeah,
yes.
Okay.
And I have lots of pony related things taking my time, so I'm not gonna get to diagnosing this anytime soon.
Well, let's just leave this at needs investigation then, and. Basically, if somebody has time to try to narrow this down, that'd be great. Otherwise,
it is what it is.
Okay, great. So that's it for Pony C. Let's see here. What else have we got?
You got a couple issues on MK Docs theme.
Yep. So MK Docs theme, we've got issue 23.
Oh, and I see the main.actor repo is not on your list, Andy, so we should add that for next time.
Is that not on my list? Uh-oh.
I know this because I opened an issue 3 days ago. And it's not here. So okay. We can also discuss that one in a bit.
I believe you. I'm grabbing everything. I'm trying to grab everything from Pony Lang. So That probably means that my logic for doing the pagination is still not working right. So, okay. All right. Okay. Do you want to talk about 23?
23. What is 23?
Search UI performance issues.
Oh yeah. I'm not sure if, did I open that?
No.
Okay. It's. Oh, so you mean just we talk about it in general, not me?
I didn't know if there's anything you wanted to say about it. You commented on it, but.
Yes, because I just asked for additional info. Yeah, this was originally opened on the PonyC repo. I transferred it to this repo where it would make the most sense. So it's. I don't know. I'm not a JavaScript person. I tried it. It is wicked slow. It's basically unusably slow. Almost unusably slow.
Sad.
Go try it. Like, go to standardlib.ponylang.io, start typing in there. It's slow. I don't think, and.
Oh my lord.
Yes, it's very slow. I feel like, I thought Eric had identified what the issue was, but he might have only noted it in Zulip. If that is correct, then you know.
Feedback.
Yeah.
The first thing I tried to type, there was a 1 second delay, mm-hmm. and now everything works perfectly.
Interesting. I feel like
snappy as hell and kind of disturbingly good, which I feel like is not the feedback that we're looking for here.
I did that. That's not what happened for me.
I got slow to start with on the first try and then quick on the second, just trying in recent Chrome. So it seems not to be browser dependent.
That's a good point. Browser usage. I am using the Edge development branch.
So am I. I typed something in and it took about 20 seconds to get it back. And I typed another thing, and
why is this working well for me? I'm very confused.
Okay, yeah. So it looks like after the first time it's used, I'm getting good results. It's a little laggy in terms of what gets typed, but after the first bit, it works fine. I think in Firefox, it's just wicked slow the entire time. Let me check and see.
Okay.
But it would be good if we could get at least a little bit of additional. I feel like...
A moment, because this is really nice, and I'm just exploring the docs. Sorry about that.
I feel like Eric, he dropped off the call. I feel like he noted an issue with this in Zulip, and I think I'd asked him to add it to this issue, but he didn't, so I'm not quite sure. Wow. So whatever this is, it locked up Firefox on me at first, where it just totally froze the browser, and then it's somewhat performant, but it's still a little laggy on Firefox. So it's definitely at least somewhat browser based. I'm adding comments about both my browser experiences, Sylvan. If you want to chime in with the MS Dev one or not, that's up to you. Yes, so it looks like same. Let me. I feel like Eric commented on this somewhere. I'm not sure where that would have been. I could have sworn he commented on it. Unfortunately, he's not on the call anymore, so Where might this have been? I feel like somebody brought this up somewhere. Okay, not in that stream. It's not in general, police, RSC, sync, tooling, new members. I suppose somebody might have brought it up in main.actor. Let's see that. Okay, no. No, I could have sworn that Eric had said something about a promise somewhere. But I'm really not seeing it here, so I don't know. Apparently that was a dream, I guess. So
I think I found it. It's under contribute to Pony, help improving search on Studlib doc sites.
Oh, nice. I didn't think to look there. Yeah.
He just said he could look into it, and then he said he can't look into it.
Okay. So if he provided anything that was relevant, could you copy that little bit and drop it on the issue if you found that? I feel like he'd at least found a tiny bit of something. Maybe we could add a bit of info there, and then maybe somebody else could.
No, it looks like he ran into dependency breakage issues locally, and he hasn't been able to look into it at all.
Okay, all right. So I guess we don't know anything about it. All right, it would be nice to get that, but yes.
Okay. then there's issue number 5, left side, our breaks on long text.
Yep. Looks like Eric did look into that a little, and basically Matthias was like, yes, neat tricks. So yeah, I guess somebody can do a PR for that, and then it'd at least be a little better there. So I think that is what it is for where it is right now.
Okay. Last week in Pony.
Yeah, there's issue, I think it's 30 on the main.actor repo, which is not in the list, but it is one that I opened.
Yeah.
Where Eric commented. So it's we need to do some tweaking to how main.actor works, and we'd be able to fix it so that the deep linking to code works. Mm-hmm. There's an interesting thing that I think would be a separate issue that we could talk about for this. So some things like primitives I saw, for example, there are methods that are auto-generated for primitives that show up in the docs, like equals, for example,
yeah.
Which don't actually have source code for them. Because at first I thought like the source code line generation stuff was broken. I was like, why are there multiple methods on this primitive that all point to the same place, right? In the source code. And then I was like, oh, it's not in the source code at all. Oh, these are generated for primitives. And so when we're generating docs for something, what do we do for these things that are auto-generated? Should we be like, so I'll step back to this and say, I think we need to revisit the way that documentation is generated entirely. The way it was done was, you know, really designed to work with MK docs. And I think there are a lot of things that we'd want to do going forward where this should probably be completely rethought or redone related to AST stuff. It would be nice if we were dumping, information more so that rather than it being a raw format that gets fit into MK docs and MK docs spits out stuff, which is what more or less happens with standard lib right now, but we can move to something with main actor where it's more like, hey, we've generated what effectively is like documentation source code, where it's like, here's the comments from the docs for specific classes. Here we are noting where in the source code this came from, blah, blah, et cetera. There's like semantic value to all of this stuff, where then tools like what main actor does could be used to take this and put together views on the documentation, which might be useful in potentially in different formats as well, right? Type thing. And dot actor can parse it in one way, which would also, like, people have mentioned, like, oh, I find this sorting, I find it when it's sorted like this to be confusing, right? It's like, well, that's the sorting that's there in the generated documentation for how MKDocs does it, and MKDocs doesn't really have a good way for sorting this stuff because, well, that's not what it's built for. But, you know, this would be another thing. If we had it this semantically, then you'd be able to sort it alphabetically or however else you want using a tool which understands all of that.
So I'm going to post a link in the chat. It's to the auto-generated documentation for a completely different project that is in, just completely different. So the contents of the project, probably not interesting, but unless you're interested in security and multi-party computation. But it's this documentation is pulled out of the source code. It's C++ source code, so it's not quite semantic like you might think, but essentially it's a combination of handwritten RST and auto-generated RST that's fed to Sphinx, and then Sphinx kicks out read the docs format documentation. I don't know if that's useful, but it's certainly been a really nice way to get people to go ahead and integrate documentation into a fairly decently sized C++ project, and to do it in this semantic way. It's different from abstraction from a programming language, of course.
The thing that I would want to be wary of is doing something where the generated stuff works for Sphinx, right? Necessarily, or MKDocs or any particular tool, rather than being here we've generated semantic stuff.
Yeah. So I think this one particularly uses RST to a little bit over target Sphinx, but RST gives you the RST has many problems as well as many advantages. I don't want to sound like I'm saying too many good things about it. It's not nearly as human readable as Markdown. But what it does let you do is create your own semantic tags for things and use those, and then essentially write whatever tool you want to understand those semantic tags. So this one probably over-targets Sphinx's semantic tags, but it might be that RST is a thing we could use. I don't mean to say, oh, let's go do that. Just maybe it's worth looking into.
Yeah. So my thought with this is we had discussed, like, way, way, way in the past, we put to bed doing different documentation backends until, like, it was easier to work with. I think Joe is slowly making progress there with the MARE stuff. And in a similar kind of feeling, I would like to get people, I want to announce a really early alpha version of main.actor, right? And just have people comment on for how the display currently is, what they don't like about it, what's problematic, et cetera. Because I think what I'd like to do is come away with that of with the, this is what we want to be generating semantically, right?
Right.
For documentation so that we would be able to support what people want with main.actor, knowing that really, this is an alpha version of main.actor, and at some point we're going to blow away all of that documentation and ask people to rebuild documentation, right, using a new format with newer compiler to have a much better and more usable thing. Because right now main.actor is taking the stuff which is specifically generated to work with MKDocs and doing the best that it can with that, right? And get people to do that. So, yeah. Hopefully that sounds good to everyone for, like, main.actor and the documentation stuff in general.
Sounds reasonable.
Yeah. Joe, sound good to you?
Yeah, I see reasonable.
Okay. All right. So yeah, I do want to, though, I'm planning on sometime like in the next few weeks announcing the main.actor stuff. I'd like to get people to start hosting documentation there. I just want to be very clear with folks that we expect all of this stuff to get blown away at some point. And more than anything else, we're looking for feedback from folks on it, while also having it be useful where people can go and be like, hey, I can use this documentation right now, but you know, like there's going to be some stuff that's probably broken in it, et cetera. Or just, there's going to be some stuff where I'm not thrilled with it because like I can't easily sort, there's no sorting for this, blah, 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 et cetera. And just start to get people on that.
Okay. What else we got? There's changelog tool, add GitHub links for versions.
Yeah, I'm going to reply to the person and say no.
Okay.
Again, I basically said no previously before, and he came back with something, which was this. It's basically, the answer is this tool exists for pony projects. I don't want to add any features to it which are not useful to pony projects. If you want to fork this, then feel free. But this exists for things that are in the pony community right now. If people in the pony community want it, then that's fine. But otherwise, I'm not really interested. We're not interested in supporting stuff that might be useful to a wider community at this point in time, which I think is the reasonable thing to do here. If folks disagree, then let me know. But it's basically the person has found the changelog tool and is would like to see something added to it, which is for a project which is outside of the pony community.
Okay.
Yeah, your stance is reasonable. There's always forking.
Yep, I think if the person wants to fork it, they could go right ahead. But like, we built this specifically for standard way of doing stuff, primarily with PonyLang projects. But then like, it's also used in Wallaroo. I use it in a couple of my personal library projects. I think the library starter pack assumes that you have, yes, this is also used for anything. If people start using the library starter pack to set up the standardized release process that we have for libraries, for being released and ending up on main.actor with listings and everything, takes advantage of this. Like, yeah, that's where I'm really interested in supporting. Cool.
Okay. So that's it for the stuff. Anything else anybody wants to talk about before we go?
So we don't have time to talk about this time, but there is something I would like to, and I think this would be where we have a meeting where we need enough interested folks to talk about it. Sylvan, I think at minimum, you need to be there as well, and me. And I think it would be nice to have Joe there. And at least, so I sent you a signal about this that I started thinking about this, Sylvan, right? So Pony Stable, I'm just going to start calling it Stable. Stable, the dependency management tool, does not handle transitive dependencies, right? And this is kind of a pain in the ass, right? I don't sure if you saw, but we turned Carl's one, which is called Corral, into a pony project, and there's been some slow work towards that, and with the idea of it can support, it needs additional work, but it should be easier to support transitive dependencies, et cetera, there, right? So if your project uses foo, then I don't have to say that foo is used in my top level project. It gets included in this fashion. Whereas with Stable as it now currently exists, I have to list all of my dependencies and whatnot in there, right? And I was thinking, and it was like, yes, this makes a lot of sense. We want to do that. The ergonomics of that are really good. I started thinking about like, Given, you know, like how open source code works in general, how NPM and RubyGems have had a number of high profile supply chain attacks that have come up, that which are usually the supply chain attacks have a wide blast radius because of the way that transitive dependencies work in those languages, that I think that we should have a conversation about. Do we want to be building a official tool that has transitive dependencies built into it, like Corral, as part of the Pony language? And if we do, given that Pony, with its capabilities and whatnot, is at least doesn't have the same ambient authority problems that something like Ruby or Node or whatnot would have, JavaScript, you know, really broadly, or Node in particular. And what are, if we are going to do transitive dependencies, what additional things might we want to do with a security model around those? What might be lacking in terms of Pony for a scenario where I think it's reasonable to say that for where source code is moving, that you can't really trust your supply chain, and what that should look like before we like just charge into doing like NPM, Ruby-style transitive dependencies and having it work however it works with Pony and capabilities as they exist right now.
I think that's pretty reasonable. It's a non-straightforward problem.
I agree. And given that we are a volunteer project and we kind of move slowly on some things anyway, and nobody is like chomping at the bit to solve the transitive dependency thing right now, I think we should step back before we do dive right into it and talk about what this looks like and be able to learn from problems that other tools have had, where at least in part of their problems just come from the fact that they have ambient authority along with transitive dependencies and with these systems where you're pulling in a ton of pretty much untrusted, unvetted code which can do anything it wants to, right? And before we adopt a model like that, but with capabilities in Pony and, you know, having to supply authority to things, like, how do we actually want this to work? Or do we want it to be able to do this?
I think transitive dependencies make sense to provide, and a lot of the issues with NPM and RubyGems are not necessarily directly from transitive dependencies so much as, like, not carefully watching your upgrades. And I think there's maybe some stuff we could do around that that would be beneficial for both for non-transitive dependencies and transitive.
That sounds pretty reasonable.
Yeah, I think the ergonomics of transitive dependencies are huge. It was just, I started thinking about it as like, I don't want to just barrel into this knowing that there are issues. Like, and I also, at first, my first thought was, without ambient authority, is this really much of a problem with Pony? And I was like, maybe, maybe not. I mean, not as much of a problem, but could it still be a problem? Yes, it could be. So, yes, good. So we should plan to do like a sync sometime, I think, in the not so distant future. Where it sounds like definitely, Joe, you should be part of that. I would like to be part of it. I think, Sylvan, you should definitely be part of it based on your quick reply to my signal, right?
Yep.
That at the least, the three of us should be there. So I think the next time we have a sync where we're all there, unless there's something really pressing for issues and PRs, I think we should devote it to discussing that.
Sounds good.
And on that note, our last sync call, which you were not able to make, Sylvan, right? Joe and I devoted that to discussing how we would handle LLVM in cases where we have a patch for LLVM, which has not yet been incorporated upstream, and how do we want to handle that? So what we decided was that this is going to be a rather rare scenario that's probably not going to come up very often. So... Yes. So what we're going to do is we're going to make, for these things, we would maintain patches in for specific versions of LLVM as needed within the PonyC repo that we can apply to the vendored LLVM, which we're moving towards only supporting the vendored LLVM, and that it can be basically these patches can be applied to the vendored LLVM as part of our make process as needed for a specific version when it's being built rather than trying to maintain a fork or whatever of LLVM and taking on a lot of work for that, for things that we expect to be really rare.
Okay. I think that's pretty reasonable, actually. Yeah.
Yeah. Given that, like, we first discussed this issue as something that we were going to eventually have to address, right? We first discussed this, I think, like 15, 16 months ago. And we've had one thing that finally came up during that period of time where we're like, okay, now we actually have to address this because the scenario is here. Cool. Anybody got anything else before we call it?
Sounds like we're all set.
All right, yep, so Joe said he had to go to his next meeting, and he put in the, if anybody wants to, real quick before Andy, before you end this, there is a link, it's in the chat, to Joe's Advent of Code using the mirror stuff there.
Okay, I'm going to copy this, and I'm going to put it in
the sync.
Yep.
Okay, cool. Awesome.
Okay.
Oh, wait, hold on. I think I just realized something that just totally didn't occur to me. Theo, hi, you joined at some point.
Yes, yeah. I did.
It's just like, it didn't occur to me that, like, it was like, oh, Theo's not here today. He wasn't there at the beginning. And then, wait, I'm talking to Theo. Hey, how you doing? Good to see you.
I'm doing well.
Awesome, excellent. And now bye, I guess.
Yeah, sorry, I can't make it to the beginning of the syncs for the next few ones because I have classes then.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Happy to have you whenever we can have you.
Yep. Cool.
Cool. All right. Thanks, everybody. Bye. I'm going to stop recording now and...